a group of five or six or seven things that constitute the myth of the lost cause. It's a group of general ideas and explanations that most, I think, of the White South subscribe to. And here are some of the key tenets of the lost cause explanation for the war and the lost cause view of their own activity during the war. Lee is crucial to these lost cause writers. He is held up as the perfect product of the antebellum slaveholding society of the South. These lost cause writers would say Lee was a humble man, he was deeply Christian, he was admirable in almost every way. And this is what our former civilization could produce, this civilization that the war took away from us. If it could produce Robert E. Lee, how could it be a bad situation? He's our model. He's the person we can hold up and show the rest of the world and not be embarrassed by him. Part of the lost cause take on Lee was that he was anti-slavery, which wasn't true. They were smart after the war. They knew that slavery was condemned by most of Western civilization, and that if they said we fought the war for slavery, they would not be very likely to get a receptive audience. So they tried to distance themselves from slavery, and Lee was part of that effort. Lee wasn't really in favor of slavery. Well, Lee really was in favor of slavery, but they said he wasn't. They argued that Lee had never been beaten, that only Northern numbers had brought Lee down, Northern numbers and lieutenants who had let Lee down, who had failed Lee in key instances, especially James Longstreet in the Battle of Gettysburg. They singled Longstreet out as a special target because he did not fit the model of what most white Southerners thought a good former Confederate should be. Longstreet became a Republican. He took offices from Ulysses S. Grant and other Republican powers. He criticized Lee in print. He became a Catholic. He urged reconciliation almost immediately after the war. He committed a range of transgressions that made him a great target in the White South after the war, a convenient target for Jubal Early and other lost cause writers who said, we lost at Gettysburg, not because Lee failed at Gettysburg, but because of Longstreet. If it hadn't been for Longstreet, we would have won. And if we had won that battle, we probably would have won our independence. That's one line of explanation about why the Confederacy lost in the lost cause literature. These lieutenants let Lee down. The other explanation is basically that the Confederacy never had a chance to win because the North had so much of everything. We fought long, we fought hard, we pulled together, we lost because they had so much of everything. And we can hold our heads up even though we lost because it was really an impossible task. Weren't we gallant and honorable in trying to win, in fighting for so long and so hard? They could pick from those explanations for Confederate defeat. And again, Early gave one of the best short encapsulations of that notion in a speech he delivered at Washington and Lee University shortly after Lee's death. He put it this way: cast Lee and his gallant soldiers brilliantly against a sort of mechanistic Northern juggernaut. General Lee had not been conquered in battle, but surrendered because he no longer had an army with which to give battle, said Early. What he surrendered was the skeleton, the mere ghost of the Army of Northern Virginia, which had been gradually worn down by the combined agencies of numbers, steam power, railroads, mechanism, and all the resources of physical science. Years of federal strategic offensives, fueled by unlimited manpower and material wealth, quote, had finally produced that exhaustion of our army and resources and that accumulation of numbers on the other side, which wrought the final disaster. Honorable striving, giving in to overwhelming Northern power. So the White South could say, our honor is intact. They also insisted again and again, as I said earlier, that it was not about slavery. It was over constitutional issues. Secession was the case of the South taking the high constitutional ground to defend the principles that the founding generation had put in place. It was the North that was striking at those principles, not the Confederacy. Both Alexander Hamilton Stevens and Jefferson Davis wrote thick two-volume sets of memoirs. Davis is more a memoir, Stevens is more a legal argument, insisting that it hadn't been about slavery. It had not been about slavery, it had been about constitutional issues. Now, if you read what Davis and Stevens said and wrote in 1861,